T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is Wichita's Sports Daily with Bruce Hurdle and Shane Dennis on Sports Radio KFH, 1240 AM, 97.5 FM.
All right, welcome back to the show, everybody. Shane and Jacob sitting in for Bruce today here on Tuesday edition of Sports Daily, hour number two. If you missed any of the first hour, go to KFHradio.com, listen to the podcast, and all the segments hooked up for you there, and you can listen to them on demand, kfhradio.com. Right now, we'll go to the Twin Peaks Scenic Views hotline, and a man of many hats, especially after the basketball season was over, Kansas.com's very own and friend of the show, Taylor Eldridge, joining. Taylor, good morning. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing well. Thanks so much for having me on, guys. I appreciate it.
No problem at all. You most recently were out at Crestview this past weekend covering the Wichita Open. And I got to ask, after the five-way playoff that turned into two, were you out there bright and early yesterday morning to watch the final two duel it out for what turned out to be two holes?
You know, I didn't make that the 7 a.m. wake-up call, but I had to just look at the results on that one. But it was an exciting weekend of golf, you know, to see the 72nd hole, Eric Compton chip in to join that playoff. That was one of the cooler moments. And Doherty had that putt from just off the green to win it that was an inch away from going in the hole. So it was actually a really exciting day of golf. And, you know, hole 17 is always super fun. Go out there, you know, have a good time, win some cheeseburgers, watch some fun golf. So, another great year of the Wichita Open.
Taylor, Jacob Albrecht here. Golf's great. We want to talk Shocker hoops, though. What do we know about Josephat Bilow? You were all over his recruitment here. Immediate contributor? What level? I know he wasn't ranked in all the services, but where does he fit in this class, and what kind of recruit is this?
Yeah, I mean, this guy is really, really intriguing. And, you know, part of me says, you know, why was he available this late if he's, you know, this good? But man, you watch some of his film. He posted a video today on his Twitter of, you know, between the legs dribble, then just an explosion to the hoop and a dunk. And it's like, man, this guy, you know, for a 6'9", 6'10" guy, to be doing that, that's really, really impressive. So, Shocker fans probably temper their expectations. You know, he's still going to be raw. He's, you know, a 19-year-old freshman's only been playing basketball for about 4 or 5 years. So, you know, he's probably got some kind of a learning curve coming up. But, man, this guy, just the talent for a 6'9", 6'10 guy, you know, people think of that size. They see his picture. He looks, you know, just completely jacked. But they think he's going to be, you know, a back-to-the-basket kind of player. But he's not. You know, this guy has guard like skills. He's more of a small forward than he is a center. He's able to, you know, shoot, pass, dribble, you know, play make for others, shot blocks. So this guy is really, really intriguing. And, you know, if he really is able to do all that stuff, you can play him next to, you know, a traditional center like, you know, Jaime Echenique, Asbjorn Midgard. It just kind of unlocks some pretty tantalizing combinations for Greg Marshall. You know, you think about playing a 6'10 guy next to a 7-footer, and that really is pretty exciting for Wichita State's defense, and that kind of moves everyone down. That lets you play Dexter Dennis at the 3, and he's one of the best defenders already in the Americans. So pretty exciting stuff. I wouldn't say, you know, expect him to be a star right away. But, man, I mean, the potential is there, and I think that, you know, Shocker fans should be excited about this guy because they might have got a, you know, a late spring recruiting gem here.
Taylor Eldridge, Kansas.com, talking Shockers. Doesn't seem like anybody goes big anymore. When you talk about pairing a 7-footer with a 6'10 guy, everybody always wants to go small, small, small. That'll be interesting, and it'll be a good problem for Greg Marshall to have. Taylor, I'm going to ask you to speculate here. If they hadn't signed who they just signed, where did you see the path for Wichita State in signing and filling that last scholarship vacated by Teddy Allen? What, not worst case scenario necessarily, but what did you anticipate to happen?
Yeah, that would have been, it would have been interesting. I think they would have still pursued to fill that spot. I think they like just having someone just to, you know, kind of look at it as a lottery ticket, bring them in, see what happens. But yeah, it just seems like, you know, whoever they go after, whoever they make their first priority, they've got, you know, for about the last year now, really. You know, credit Tyson Waterman, first-year assistant, or just completed his first year with the Shockers. He's got the magic touch right now. You know, he's been able to, you know, really make an impact. You think back on, you know, the recruiting for, you know, Tyson Etienne, Grant Sherfield, Trey Wade, pretty much, you know, four or five of the recruits in this year's class. That's all Tyson Waterman, you know, jumping in late and leading WSU to kind of a come-from-behind recruiting victory for a lot of these really, really good guys. So, you know, Tyson, you know, brings them in. You know, Marshall's the closer. They have a really good 1-2 punch going right now. So it would have been interesting to see if they would have missed out because, you know, they didn't really have an obvious pick right after that. You know, maybe you look at a grad transfer, kind of break up the class. Maybe a JUCO guy, something like that. But, you know, yeah, they made Joseph Abulau kind of the number one option. And, you know, just like they've done, you know, for the last year, you know, they went out and got their guy.
They did it with Sherfield most recently, and he was heavily recruited. I'm with you. That it's impressive to me, and it makes me wonder, you know, how much higher they want to go in some of these rankings when they're getting the people they're going for. But we see an impressive class, maybe the most impressive ever, but it still doesn't fill that hole of, well, what is the offense now without Teddy Allen? You seeing any of these freshmen step up? You think it's simply like Dexter Dennis and Eric Stevenson step? Where's that offense that everyone expected Teddy to take? Where's it going to come from next year?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's, you know, the biggest loss is Teddy's, you know, just his score first mentality. You know, guys, I think people are going to realize, you know, just how valuable, you know, Marcus McDuffie, Samaje Hinge-Jones were late in the shot clock, you know, when the offense breaks down and you need someone that can just go create a shot. And, you know, last year, you know, fans, I felt like they were maybe a little overcritical of, you know, some of the shots that those two took. But they, you know, they had to take those shots because, you know, the offense broke down a lot because, you know, you're playing so many freshmen and they needed someone to just go and try to get a look. And this year, now the big question is who is that guy? You know, Eric Stevenson, he kind of has that gene that kind of he doesn't really care. I mean, he can go out and take that big shot. He made some big shots down the stretch. Dexter Dennis, I don't know if we saw that from him last year. Maybe that's the jump he takes from freshman to sophomore year. You know, they really like Tyson Etienne. They think he's going to be a big-time player, but, you know, 18-, 19-year-old freshman. So, yeah, we'll just have to see. You know, Jaime Echenique, they didn't really go to the post very much, you know, as a go-to option late in the shot clock. So, yeah, I think it's going to have to be one of these guards, and they're going to have to show us you know, something they didn't last year. But, you know, that's what the freshman and sophomore year jump is all about. And, you know, you have a couple, you know, those breakout candidates, you know, they're really, really high on Jamarius Burton, just the work he's put in. They think he looks a little bouncier. He's obviously worked on his outside shot. So he's someone, you know, he's going to get challenged for minutes. You know, you bring in 2 4-star guards, Grant Sherfield, Tyson Etienne, another nice one in Noah Fernandez. You know, that's kind of a, you know, a threat to him for playing time. So he's really had to step up his game. And then you have Dexter and Eric Stevenson. So I'm sure Marshall will play that 3-yard system again. And yeah, that's going to be the big question mark is who takes those big time shots, who leads this team in shots. It's really interesting and to think about. I mean, I think a lot of people just assume it's going to be Dexter Dennis, but mm-hmm. you know, I don't know if he has that score first mentality. It seems like he kind of lets the game come to him, which isn't a bad thing, but it'll be, I think the scoring will be way more spread out, much more typical of a Marshall team where, you know, the leading scorers, you know, 11, 12, 13 points, somewhere like that. And I think a lot of the guys are going to be scoring for this team. But yeah, that's the big question mark now is, you know, who takes those big shots?
Taylor Eldridge, talking Shockers, Kansas.com. He's on the Twin Peaks Scenic Views hotline here on Sports Daily with Shane and Jacob. UConn leaving the American, if it happens, and it looks like it's going to, 99% chance, or at least at this late hour. Now that UConn's leaving, what is the American left to do to replace them, or do they? What do you think?
Yeah, well, obviously this is, football runs everything, so this will be a football decision first. It sounds like they're pursuing at least some teams to fill out just to get 12 teams to have two divisions to play in that conference championship game. I think they can apply for a waiver if they don't find someone. They just have 11 and still have a conference championship game. But, yeah, they might do something, you know, similar to just the Navy and just bring an Army or a school like that. And then basketball-wise, I think it makes sense to just stay at 11, even though it sounds like an odd number. But really, you know, you play a round-robin schedule. You play the other 10 teams two times, you know, everyone home away. That's 20 games right there. And I like that idea. I think, you know, if the American really is on the rise and, you know, you're looking at Tulane, a complete makeover, ECU, you know, they're beating Duke out for a 7-footer this last week in recruiting. You know, Joe Dooley's really got them turning around. So, you know, if there's not going to be any really, really bad games anymore, that could actually help everyone in the American. If you play everybody twice, you switch to a round robin 20-game schedule, that takes out some of the bye games, some of those 200, 300 level games. So it could actually be a good thing for the American moving forward because, you know, as we know, you know, UConn hasn't really been anything special in recent history. You know, the national championship 6 years ago feels like an eternity. And so they weren't, I mean, obviously they're probably on the come up with Dan Hurley, but still, you know, you're losing like a seventh, eighth, ninth place team, somewhere like that. So it's not a huge loss for the American in terms of basketball right now. Obviously, with, you know, UConn, they bring the prestige, they bring the large fan base. So there's losses to talk about. But I think the American will stand pat at 11 for basketball and then maybe, you know, add a football-only playing member.
But don't you think UConn brings that market? You're talking about New York City and Boston right there when you're in Connecticut. I mean, that's a national brand that you're missing out on. In a lot of ways, they're irreplaceable. But in basketball, they're probably replaceable. But I think it's a strong check in the column of staying pat. Do you see long term growth? I mean, ECU, they're doing okay. What about USF? Who's we've seen splash? What about Tulane? Like, is it a conference that can top to bottom be good? I don't want to say like the Big 12, but the Big 12 sort of boasts that a little bit. No bad teams in the league. Is it something that these teams that have struggled lately have the ability to do?
Yeah, I think, you kind of look at the blueprint that South Florida took last year. You know, they've kind of been a laughingstock the last, you know, 4 or 5 years. And then Brian Gregory, I think year three, really, really found something. You know, everyone thought they were going to finish, you know, last, second to last. And they finished with 24 wins, 8-10 in the conference. Bring back everyone. They're kind of a dark horse contenders to maybe win the league next year. So I think teams like East Carolina, you know, you find the right coach like Joe Dooley. Tulane just hired Ron Hunter, well-respected around the industry. People really like them. They've had massive overhauls on their roster. So, yeah, I think it is possible for this league to kind of elevate and, you know, get every team up there playing well. And, you know, SMU, I think this is the last year under the scholarship restrictions. So I think, you know, everyone in the league is looking up. It's looking positive. And I think it can become, you know, one of those, you know, five best basketball playing conferences in the country. It's trending in that right direction. But you're right. You know, UConn, the league is definitely better with UConn than without it.
Talking to Taylor Eldridge, Kansas.com, talking Shockers, talking American, talking all kinds of stuff. Taylor, I know you're into projections like this, and if you don't follow him on Twitter and you like the Shockers, then you're doing it wrong. Follow Taylor on Twitter. How about the Wichita State starting five, if you had to fill one out right now, and the rotation thereafter?
Yeah, that's a tough question. You know, they're so deep. I think you'll see a couple red shirts now. So I think game one, I think the returners are just going to have the advantage, the older guys. So I'm going to go with JB at one, Jamarius Burton. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go Eric Stevenson at the two, Dexter Dennis at the three, Trey Wade, the JUCO transfer, at four, and then I'll go Jaime Echenique at five. Will that change throughout the season? Yes. You know, they're not going to have the same starting five all 32 games. But, you know, look for Tyson Etienne, Grant Sherfield. Maybe they work their way into that starting five. Even, you know, Joseph Abelau, you know, if this guy's the real deal, maybe he works his way into the starting five too. You know, we saw Asbjorn at the five as well a couple times last year. And, you know, Marshall was really high on him in the spring. So, yeah, I mean, that's the good thing about having depth is it gives you a lot of lineup combinations. But for game one, I'm going to go with the older guys, the guys with the experience under Marshall for last year.
What are they going to do with four centers? They yeah, can all contribute. True. It's a weird problem in college basketball. It's not a problem. It's a weird dynamic to a college basketball team. They got four of those guys.
Yeah, and you know, the first year I covered this team 2 years ago, you know, that was kind of the same thing they had back then. You know, when you had Shaq and Rondo and Darrell Willis and Rashard and all these post players. But back then, you know, he would play two posts together, and now he's kind of shifted away from that. You know, he played McDuffie as kind of the small ball four last year. You know, Trey Wade's looking like the small ball four this year. He hardly ever played two of those centers at the same time last year. Pretty much, I think it was only against Central Florida, which has a super tall lineup, that he played Echenique and Meekard at the same time. Yeah, I think one of those guys will probably redshirt. You know, Morris Udeze is probably the safest bet, just because he's coming off a big shoulder injury. He hasn't been able to practice yet, so he's kind of behind schedule. I would probably expect him. I mean, I would expect him to take a red shirt, get fully healthy, also break up the class, and then you just roll with those three centers. You know, stamina was kind of the big issue with, you know, both of those guys last year with Echenique and Meekard. So it's not like they're out there playing 25, 30 minutes. I know they're really working to build that stamina this year, but, you know, Marshall kind of liked that three-headed monster you can roll out with, you know, Echenique, Meekard, and then Isaiah Porbear Chandler, kind of that intriguing third option. And he's cut a ton of weight. He's probably in the best shape of his life. You know, Kerry Rosenboom has really done a number on Pooh Bear. So I think he might be a sleeper candidate to, you know, kind of break through in that rotation and give, you know, WSU solid minutes off the bench at the center position. But, yeah, that's a problem not very many, you know, college basketball teams have. You're right. It's, you know, how do we play these three centers? I mean, most people are going so small these days that they're playing, you know, maybe on another team, you know, they're playing Joseph Abelau at the center as kind of the small ball five. But, you know, this team, they have options, they have combinations, and it'll be interesting to see, you know, how Marshall kind of employs all of this depth this coming season.
And it's not just as simple as, okay, play somebody else at the four. You got to learn the four. You got to know exactly what you're doing at the four as opposed to the five. And I think that's what kind of, correct me if I'm wrong, Taylor, kind of held Rono Nerger back a little bit because he had to learn both, and he ended up playing both, but it took him a while, right?
Yeah, well, you have to guard the four at the other end, too, and almost everyone in this league is playing a stretch four that can shoot it from the outside. So, yeah, it sounds good to, you know, play, you know, Echenique and, you know, maybe Asbjorn at the same time, but then you're asking one of those guys to guard someone that can shoot threes at the other end. And, you know, you saw in recent years, and, you know, other teams have put WSU's bigs in those pick and rolls and, you know, Trey Young, the OU guy, Brady Manick at Interest Bank Arena, they just, you know, set the rims on fire because they would just run a pick and roll, exploit the WSU big man and throw it back for a three-pointer. And that's just tough to guard with a, you know, a big seven-footer. And, yeah, I just don't think they can play two of them at the same time and just the way today's college basketball is played. But, you know, having one, it can be an advantage. You know, we saw WSU capitalize on that size advantage last year, become, you know, a better rebounding team as the season progressed. And Coach Marshall is always wanting them to get more nasty. That's kind of the phrase he uses. So if you can get, you know, Echenique and Meekard, you know, playing with that intensity, that aggressiveness, then that can turn into an advantage for WSU.
At Taylor Eldridge on Twitter, Kansas.com, Wichita Eagle, all things Wichita State, and others. Taylor, we always appreciate your insight and your time. Thanks so much.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. Have a good one.
All right. Taylor Eldridge from the Eagle. All right. When we come back, we will have a little Q&A with Jacob. Bounce some topics off one another, get some maybe some hot takes, but where do you stand? Where do you come out? Q&A with Jacob as he sets in for Bruce, Shane, and Jacob here on a Tuesday Sports Daily. Rolling on. Stay there, everybody.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.